It's the end of the world as you know it. Do you feel fine? Tonight the apocalypse gets deep, fat, fried!
Deep, fat, fried!
Just joking, guys. Tonight's actually the top 10 paint drying things.
I thought we were doing top 10 hottest babes too.
Oh yeah, we never did. You know what? We never did hot. You know, top 10 hottest intersex people.
Oh yeah,
Or gender fluid people.
I'm only here because guys,
a lot of top.
You
10
guys
lists
promised
left to
me.
Go.
You guys both promised me some drugs, so. Are we doing some else?
Deep fat fried is a drug unto itself.
Okay, so what you're saying is you lied to me.
Take a big fat toke of deep fat fried, Scotty.
Oh yeah, that deep fat fried
shit, man,
flavor.
I'm so high.
I don't really feel high, so you know.
Well, it doesn't affect everybody, I guess.
All right. Well, fair enough.
Fair enough.
I'm here anyway, so I guess we'll do this fucking show.
I've been waiting for this show. I'm so glad that TJ's stupid, like, oh, let's ogle tits and asses and dick shit is over. That dumb idea.
That was your idea,
Paul.
Whatever. You guys are just, the Kirk blockade.
The John Cena
mean?
Of deep fat fried.
The fucking Kirk blockade happening here. Yeah, I see what's going on. Whatever. Okay, my terrible fucking idea to ogle booties. This is what I really get
this
off
to. This is a highbrow
show,
Paul.
This is what I stroke my meat to, right? The fucking extinction of the human race.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think we can't, address. We're gonna get into some specific scenarios here, but I think we need to address the fact that for us, at least me and Paul, I don't know about Scotty. I don't want to speak for him, but you know,
you shouldn't.
There's an upside to this whole apocalypse thing for sure. It's
yes, it's all upside. There's nothing but upside to the apocalypse.
It's like, ah.
Well, I think the first thing
finally
we should specify is that, you know, we're not going to talk about all the apocalyptic scenarios. We're limiting it to this one to like natural and
We're limiting this episode to the plausible. Will there be another episode, perhaps for patrons only, that talks about some other fucking scenarios? Who knows?
Yeah, well, you'll have to be a patron to find out. Yeah,
only patrons can know such things.
But tonight we're talking about the things that might could happen.
Yes, yes, that's true.
And natural, not
shit
man-made
hear,
shit.
Yeah,
because there's some plausible ones there as well.
We're avoiding man-made shit. We're
supernatural.
Supernatural shit. We're just sticking with natural ways that the world could plausibly end. Maybe there's some that, you know, mankind could or might or might not have a hand in, but nothing that's just definitively like World War III or some shit. There's nothing like that in here.
Nope. This is all just mom fixing it.
Yeah, this is all
mom's just gonna fix it all soon.
Mom's coming round to put it back the way it
Arizona Bay.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that Bill Hicks / Tool reference.
Yeah, dude.
Coming at you real hardcore.
We're fucking smart. Like, nobody has ever given me a downside to just the scouring of the face of this planet. Like, not one that really matters, you know what I mean? They're like, but what about the beauty? I'm like, but if we're not around to experience the beauty don't matter, does it?
I mean, isn't the fucking, what's wrong, is a molten ball of fucking spinning death not beautiful in its own way?
I guess you're right there, too.
Yeah.
Depends on your perspective, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, also, you have to factor in that it might not mean that all life is gone, just humans are gone.
Right.
Yeah, so, there's probably other life. We got a big ass universe. There's probably other life forms
out there. I'm sure it'll be fine, dude.
Why are we so special? Why can't we end? You know, everything fucking has a beginning and a middle and an end, and you know, maybe we're closer to the end, or maybe it's a while away. Who knows?
Oh,
who
man.
Fucking knows?
Fingers
dude.
Crossed. Fingers crossed every day. Oh man.
Come on, you piece of shit world, end.
Paul's the crab boy.
Oh man, I check every day when I get up, I immediately check the news. I want that
new
headline.
Fly.
I want that headline that says, like, giant world-killing object spotted by telescope. The end is nigh.
Paul's like, I don't have to do DFF anymore.
It's over.
It's all
over.
Done.
Thank fucking God. Just hope all my enemies die slightly before me so I can see them die.
I always think, you know, it'd be funny if this should happen and Paul was like... Because you know Paul would at least freak out, dude. It would be funny because Paul, even though he'd be like, yes.
Well, we all have survival instincts.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But, dude, I would want to be around Paul right as the end was coming if it was possible. Because I'd be like, happy now, Paul? Happy now, Paul? And then watch Paul be like, oh, my God!
No, I'd be a very quiet, solemn individual. I'd be staring up at the stars, man.
Knowing you, Paul, I don't think so.
One last moment of consciousness.
Paul would just be like, yes, sweet embrace of death. Be funny if the asteroid was like, whoa, they're into this. And then just kind of like,
it swerves away from Paul.
I'm like, no, come back.
Come back. I barely knew thee.
Paul goes on like a murder rampage beforehand.
I know. I'm just nothing matters anymore.
Yeah, Paul just gives it every dark fucking desire he's ever had in his life. He just rapes, burns,
rapes
and pillages.
Rapes and burns and pillages.
Steals.
Nothing matters anymore anyway.
It's like the episode of the Twilight Zone, dude.
Asteroid misses. Oh, shit.
Where it's like,
I'm going to get my comeuppance now. Oops.
Yeah, dude. I'm saying we'd have that allegorical shit, dude. It'd be like, you know, in the Twilight Zone where they break into the neighbor's house because he's got a bunker and shit. Paul will be those people. He'll be doing whatever he has to survive, and then he'll just be like, nope, never mind,
I don't
Paul.
Think no bunker is protecting you from an asteroid impact.
Oh, dude, I ain't trying. Like, I know, I've watched enough movies and shit to know not even to go to that bunker because I know what kind of slaughter is going to go
on
inside
Don't go to the bunker, dude.
I know that the lucky ones die on the surface from starvation or radiation poisoning or some shit, you know what I mean?
Dude, fuck that. Just blow your brains out at that point. I mean, yeah. who even gives a shit? The asteroid's about to hit, and you don't want to fucking deal with, like, the best case scenario being like, you get to fight for survival in an apocalyptic wasteland. It's like, just kill yourself.
Like, how is that considered survival, being trapped underground with a bunch of assholes? It's like, nope. No. That's a different kind of death.
What if you were trapped underground with the 10 recipients of our hottest women list?
Well, that's a different story. Now, if I end up in that bunker,
you're fine with that one.
So, since we're talking about an asteroid, let's talk about that one first.
Sure.
So, this is from
Ask an Astronomer.
Yeah, it's a Cornell webpage. This is what would happen if an asteroid 10 kilometers across hit the Earth.
Beginner.
That's definitely us.
Yeah, we're beginners. We don't know much
about this.
We need
the preschool
stuff.
Version of this.
Yeah, look, it's nice and short. I can fit the whole thing on the screen.
Okay, I understand.
It's beautiful.
Ooh, yeah.
Being stupid is awesome.
I'm glad to be
stupid. We don't gotta read as much.
Yeah, look at that. It was only a couple paragraphs there. Yeah. Oh, shit. For an asteroid 10 kilometers in diameter, I just wish I knew what a fucking kilometer was. That's the only downside.
Some
here.
Foreign shit. I don't know.
Some weird unit of measure.
How many miles in diameter is it?
Yeah, what is that? Speak English. It doesn't matter where it hits, ocean or dry land. Remember that the deepest point in the ocean is the Mariana Trench, which is only 11 kilometers deep. Also, a typical speed for meteorites is around 30 kilometers per second. That's kind of fast. I think. An asteroid 10 kilometers across is so massive that it's very hard to slow it down. Unlike small meteors, it will not be slowed down much by air friction. Yeah, it's just going to tear right through that shit. It will punch through the atmosphere like it's hardly even there. When it reaches the surface, it will smack so hard that it won't matter if it strikes ocean or land.
I mean, I don't really agree with that, because it'll matter a little bit, right, depending on where you are on the planet. If it hits the ocean, you might die in a tsunami rather than a fireball.
If
right?
you're like a surfer, you might just be waiting for that. This is going to be the ultimate wave! Hang 10 on the apocalypse wave!
Haven't they done that in one of these stupid movies?
They probably have.
If they haven't... Hey, look, they can't even... This is Cornell University. They can't even spell impact.
Whoa, dude.
The Impact.
The Impact.
Zero credibility with me now. The Impact with the Earth's crust will finally stop the asteroid. The energy of the impact will vaporize the asteroid and a large amount of the Earth's crust, creating a crater more than 100 kilometers across.
I think that's why it's irrelevant if it hits the ocean or if it's land.
I think if it did hit the ocean, all the water around around it would just be vaporized.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to matter anyways.
Throwing all that rock into the air. Some of the debris will be going so fast that they'll fly right out of Earth's atmosphere and go into orbit around the Earth. Most of the debris will rain back down on Earth, every part of the Earth.
Oh, my God.
So we're just talking like, so it's going to throw up a bunch of chunks of shit into the atmosphere.
It's going to be rain fire.
For
rain us, fire and boulders and shit.
That's why it's one of humanity's biggest achievements to have actually left the orbit of this planet, because it's so difficult. For an asteroid to hit, to actually throw a rock into space is just, like, mind-boggling.
This is a fun part, too. Every part of the Earth, not just near the impact site, will be heated up. It'll heat up the atmosphere, so you'll be like, it'll be like being inside an oven. It's going to trigger forest fires and cook anything that isn't sheltered underground.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So the
human kebabs, dude.
Goddamn, can you imagine the buffet, though, if you were underground when you came out afterwards?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, it would be like the best barbecue that you've ever been to.
Just hang out underground by, like, the Brooklyn Zoo or something.
Yeah, in a bib with a fork and a knife. Just waiting.
Paws pops out.
Just get out of there.
Some lion.
Just be like, ooh, yeah, elephant. All right.
Ooh, a rare white rhinoceros, the last one in captivity.
Nature's most amazing potluck starts now, gentlemen. Let's go.
We've been waiting for this day. The combination of dust from the impact and soot from the forest fires will remain in the Earth's atmosphere for a year or so, blocking out the light of the sun. Without sun, much of the Earth's plant life on land and in the sea will die.
Wonderful.
Many species of animals, including the human race, if we aren't both lucky and resourceful, will die out, either in the initial catastrophe or the ensuing years due to lack of food and general devastation of the environment. The last time this happened was 65 million years ago. That's when it killed the dinosaurs.
Yep.
And that's that created the Chicxulub crater in Mexico. I knew it was the fucking Mexicans, man. And causing the extinction of the dinosaurs. On average, an asteroid this size strikes the Earth every 50 to 100 million years. Kind of sounds like we're due.
We're overdue. I mean, by the liberal estimate.
Damn.
By about 15 million.
So
cool, dude.
Yeah, that's good. That shit's probably going to hit tomorrow. It's crazy.
Thank goodness.
Let's take a look at the crater here, because I know we pulled that up, too.
Yeah. So this is the one that killed the dinosaurs.
I'm not going to read this dense shit. Is there a good picture of it? I mean, I guess...
They want to see the fucking...
I mean, you can't really see it anymore because most of it's under the ocean.
It's too big to even see. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, you see that. It's like... There's the edges of the crater, and it's like goes all the way out into the oceans and shit.
That's crazy, dude.
Right on the fucking northern corner of the Yucatan Peninsula.
Yeah, and there's apparently they have a bunch of sinkholes that it caused as well.
There was a good little section there on like the amount of energy and shit that was expelled.
Oh, okay.
If you go down a little bit,
show me where
Discovery.
That is.
Keep going. There you go. Impact specifics.
Oh, okay. Researchers at the University of Glasgow. Dated tektite samples from the impact as 66 million years, give or take 11,000 years, I guess. The Chicxulub impactor had an estimated diameter of 15 kilometers, so 9.3 miles. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Wikipedia.
And delivered an estimated energy of 10 billion with a B, Hiroshima A-bombs. Well, then they got some math, not going to try to read. By contrast, the most powerful man-made explosive device ever detonated, the SAR bomb, had an energy of only 210 petajoules, which that's significantly less. The object dug a hole 100 kilometers wide and 30 kilometers deep, leaving
19-mile deep crater.
Leaving a crater mainly under the sea and covered by 600 meters, that's 2,000 feet of sediment by the 21st century.
Whoa.
The effects are pretty interesting, too. You don't have to read all of that, but like...
Maybe you could summarize for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, the mega tsunami. So the impact would have caused a mega tsunami over 100 meters, 330 foot tall mega tsunami.
What the fuck, dude?
So we're talking taller than most, buildings.
Yeah, that's almost as tall as me.
And it would reach all the way as to what now is Texas and Florida. So those areas would be just destroyed.
I mean, like, the question I have is, I guess you'd probably be dead if you were in those areas already before that tsunami even hit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Tsunamis travel, you know, what, about the speed of sound or something? I mean, I guess they probably could.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how fast a tsunami with, you know, generated by that much energy would
I just wonder what would kill you.
It's pretty fast.
Would you be cooked by the radiation, just the heat that's thrown off by the explosion, or would you live long enough to see the
I think that just depends on where you are.
It depends on how probably relatively close you are.
Well, like if you were on that coast that they talked about, if you were in Texas or Florida when this happened, like would you live long enough to see the and then the tsunami, or would you just be cooked before the wave ever hit, you know?
I don't know. We'd have to get a scientist.
Yeah,
here.
I don't think any of us are qualified to answer that. But
here's what we can speculate about. Here's where I think our fervent speculation comes into play. Because, you know, a motherfucker this big, chances are we're going to see it coming.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have some idea.
We're going to have, I mean, we'll have some fucking notice on this one, probably.
Right.
You know? You know, whether that be months, whether that be weeks, maybe even years. You know, what do you think humanity does when faced with that? Like, let's say tomorrow the news breaks that this fucking a 10-kilometer wide fucking asteroid is hurtling towards the Earth. It's 100% gonna fucking hit, and it's gonna destroy fucking life as we know it. It's going to cause massive fucking problems. We got like 2 weeks to prepare. What happens?
Humanity is fucked.
Yeah, I mean, I think look, I think you're assuming that like the powers that be wouldn't try and cover up this information and preserve some sense of order so that they can try and preserve themselves in the time that they have. Because if they figure it out like a year ahead of time, the general populace isn't going to hear about it till like it's a week out.
I mean, there's so many people with telescopes pointed at the sky.
Yeah, but this is different kind. You have to have a certain kind of instrument to be able to see something as small as 10 kilometers up in
I just
in
feel
space.
Like it'd be pretty hard to contain.
I think the information would come out relatively quickly.
But I mean, how many people would like just discount it, you know? Like I've lived here on this planet all my life, and
I ain't going nowhere.
You're never gonna have universal like acceptance of the information. There's gonna be plenty of people that are probably form like cults, you know, worshiping the fucking asteroid. You're gonna have people that are just terrified, and there's just gonna be probably a lot of chaos and lawlessness.
I mean, tons of mass suicides. Right?
Oh yeah, suicides, mass killings, mass murder and robbery and rioting and looting and rape and pillage and all of that shit.
All social order breaks down in that
eventually.
Scenario.
Yeah, I mean, like it all just depends though on how like how long we have. You know what I mean? If we find out about this 2 days ahead of time, how much destruction could be wreaked in those 2 days? You know. But yeah, I think that definitely a lot of people are going to die before it even hits the planet.
Oh yeah, dude. They're probably the lucky ones.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, they're probably going to be the lucky ones because one, you're going to have the impact. You're going to have all the events leading up to the impacts. I mean, even if you're like, let's say you're some underground fucking lair or something or someplace holed up. I mean,
yeah, you're in NORAD or some shit.
Yeah. Like how long are you going to have supplies for? How long are you actually going to be able to live that existence?
Well, yeah, and I mean, who are you down there with?
Yeah.
Like, what are their motives, and how are they going to hold up under long term of, you know, because like you, like, let's say you did survive, like, how long would it be before you could even conceivably walk back out onto the face of the planet?
Yeah, I mean, like, how long would it take for the fucking surface of the Earth to even be
rain molten shit for months as, you know, chunks of that shit that was thrown out into space get attracted back and fall back down to. So there might be multiple like smaller impacts as giant chunks of the shit that was thrown up into space come crashing back down elsewhere.
That's why we need volts from Fallout, dude.
All right, well, here's what I'm reading an article now that said. I was trying to figure out exactly how much warning we were likely to have if something like this is going to happen, but the title of this article is and this is from Forbes, not a science magazine, but, you know, whatever, respectable enough. Says, we probably wouldn't even see a doomsday asteroid until it was too late.
Cool.
David Ewalt reports on asteroid 9942 Apophis, a hunk of space rock discovered back in 2004, blah, 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 blah.
close pass, da-da-da-da-da. According to Ewalt, scientists are now claiming the asteroid is 20% bigger than they first thought. Da-da-da-da-da. I don't care about this. I don't care about this asteroid that was a near miss. I want to know how long it would take for a fucking you to detect one that fucking...
I mean, they just told you. I mean, they like. There's a good chance that they wouldn't. I mean, they have such a small percentage of the sky covered with telescopes at any given moment.
Here we go. With so many of even the larger NEOs remaining undiscovered, the most likely warning today would be zero, NASA informs us. We would see nothing at all until suddenly, just as the impact occurred, we notice a flash of light and the shaking of the ground as it hit, then poof. So there'd be no warning. I mean, there could be...
It's possible.
We might spot it beforehand and be like, oh, there it is. But it's actually more likely that we'd just be like, holy shit, we didn't even see it coming.
Yeah.
We're just fucking...
Boom! You're dead.
Also, the reality is we're probably still powerless.
Yep.
It's just like, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you get executed and you get shot in the back of the head and you never know, or you get to walk to the gallows. You know what I mean? Which one do you want? You know, the result's the same. For 99.9% of humans, more than likely.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
This has happened in Earth's past at least a couple of times, so it's not like totally out of the realm of possibility at any moment that this could just happen.
Yeah, right now.
Right in the middle of us recording this shit.
Boom.
Ironically, although nobody will be around to experience the irony of it.
I just wish we were live instead of pre-recording, so that the world could ironically end. As people were watching it, like, it probably won't happen in my lifetime. Boom! Dead!
Oh my god!
Dead, faggot. Dead. Hope it hits on the other side of the Earth so that,
get a few brief moments of
show. Yeah, so I'm like, I get like some, what the hell's going on? I see some fucking flaming rocks in the sky heading down on me. I'm like, oh shit, this ain't good.
That's pretty awesome.
This ain't good.
I want to.
I don't know about this.
I want to eat the tsunami, man. I want to see that 330-foot tall wave just crashing in.
That would be kind of cool, you know. Just
I used to
watch
have dreams when I was a little kid of
a big tsunami killing you.
Yeah, because I lived in the valley, so I could see the Sierra Nevada mountains from my house, and I used to have this dream as a little boy of watching a big wave crash over those mountains and come into the valley and shit. That'd be a cool way to go.
Very unlikely, but that'd be pretty cool.
Yep.
But you know what's even more cool?
School.
Gamma ray bursts.
It's another one that, like, we're not going to see coming, right?
I don't know. I don't know anything about them. Let's take a look. Let's learn. Let's learn things.
The gamma ray bursts.
Why gamma ray bursts are the most epic of all apocalyptic scenarios. All right, sell me on this concept, Becky Ferreri. Fiera? What is it? Ferreira? Stupid name. Asteroid impacts, nuclear war, unhinged climate change. These are all respectable, solid entries into the pantheon of doomsday scenarios. Yeah, yeah, no one cares about your commentary, bitch. Leave that to us. But when it comes to sheer destructive flare, gamma ray bursts. GRBs?
GRBs,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I got it. Take the apocalyptic cake. Oh, shit. Forged in catastrophic cosmic disruptions like supernova and supernovae. Novae? The neutron star mergers, GRBs, are the brightest phenomena in the universe, capable of releasing more energy in a single second than a sun will in its entire lifetime of 10 billion years. These bursts are essentially the universe's unique riff on projectile barfing. Cool.
Sweet.
Death.
So, like, when
space.
A star dies, it pukes two giant lasers of energy in two opposite directions.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And...
I mean,
if we happen to be so unlucky that our like rotation around the sun, it's like the cosmic sniper shot, right? It's like this explosion happens and it's coming at us at light speed, and we just happen to rotate in front of it. Now
they're trying to make it out like the Death Star, dude. It's not anything like that.
As cool as it sounds. A lot of the stuff that I found when I was looking into this say that scientists are pretty, they're like, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be a good thing if it hit us, but it's not going to kill the whole planet. It's not going to kill all of humanity.
Yeah, we don't become the next Alderaan, dude. We don't just
I see that we also pulled an article debunking gamma ray bursts. Summary, there is nothing to fear here. There is most likely no effect. At most, it would have an effect on our ozone layer. The danger is from UV light, and it wouldn't be hard to shield ourselves from that.
Well, goddamn, motherfucker. How do you go from fucking the most epic fucking apocalypse ever to, probably wouldn't be shit.
That's the thing that the media does with this
shit.
Well,
go back to the clickbait site. Look, yeah. 100 Vine compilations. You know what I mean? Like, and then you're talking about, why is this kind of, like, dishonest?
But, I mean, this is all over the place. You know what I mean? It's not just this site. People are like, yeah, man, this fucking gamma ray burst might happen, and we're just going to be cooked. And it's like, no, we have, like... Our planet has radiation shielding built in, basically.
Yeah, we have an ozone layer.
10, or it's like 100 cubic meters or whatever of water worth of radiation shielding.
Yeah, it's like 10 meters deep is basically what...
So, basically, this would burn a big hole in our ozone layer, which we know doesn't destroy the human race, because we done did that to the planet ourselves.
We did that ourselves once. That was
scorched a big fucking hole in the ozone layer, and it sucked, and it disrupted shit, but it didn't kill us.
Yeah, aerosols and the CFCs that... create a hole in the ozone layer. Like, was it Antarctica or something?
Yep.
Yeah. Whoopsie.
Whoops. Sorry.
But I always love how, you know, these people are like, they really think that humans could have that much of an impact. Like, all of a sudden, these people who are always, you know, usually, like, talk about the triumph of the human spirit, when it comes to, like, oh, we fucked up and did something bad to the planet, they're like, as if us small, insignificant humans could really do anything. But I guess we'll get into that. When we start talking about man-made disasters,
we just bored a big hole in the only thing keeping the sun from cooking everything on the planet, man.
Whoopsie-daisy. Doomsday Star. What is this? What is this about? We got a Doomsday Star. Doomsday Star.
That one I don't know. That's not one that I pulled.
5 billion. I mean, it must be because I didn't pull it. 5 billion years from now, our sun will die. What?
What?
Okay. Sorry, sun. After running out of hydrogen fuel, it will start burning heavier and heavier elements in its fusion core, causing its body to bloat, shedding huge quantities of material into space via violent stellar winds. During this time, our star will expand around 100 times bigger than it is now, becoming what is known as a red giant. This dramatic expansion will engulf Mercury and Venus and the two planets close to the sun. But what is less clear is what will happen to Earth. Will our planet go the way of Mercury and Venus and succumb to an ocean of superheated plasma? Or will our planet escape the worst of the sun's death throes to continue orbiting the tiny white dwarf star that will be left behind? Well, I don't think we need to worry about this one too much, considering that 5 billion years from now.
Dude, I am worried about 5 billion years from now. What could happen?
Yeah, what if I'm
still alive? What would I be doing in 5 billion years? You
might want to start worrying about it, guys, because I hate to tell you, but at Zego Energies, we're working on a missile that will accelerate this process.
Oh.
We're gonna turn the sun into a fucking red dwarf tomorrow.
All right.
So cool. You better prep yourself, bitch.
Doomsday prep.
Say goodbye to Mercury. Say goodbye to Venus. They're just going to go away.
Innocent bystanders.
You know, honestly,
against the Earth.
I never gave a shit about them anyways. You know, I'm fine with it.
I don't know. I kind of liked Venus because it rhymes with penis. You know.
Venus, penis.
The solar storm that almost destroyed human civilization.
This is from the sun. Yeah, I did pull these. So this is how the sun could kill us.
This is the sun. I've always told people I hate the sun. They're always like, oh, it's the giver of life. Well, it also could be the giver of death.
What it give, it can taketh away.
What the sun giveth, the sun taketh away. That's right, Scotty. Solar storms are one of the most frightening doomsday scenarios that endanger us today in the modern era of electricity. They are caused when twisted magnetic field lines on the solar surface snap and send a cloud of plasma hurling into space. These charged particles offer a different kind of doomsday. Instead of mutating life on Earth or sterilizing the plants, the most likely scenario is a strong cloud of plasma destroys any electronic device that is on at the time of the strike. Yes, it will cause thousands of casualties instantly as planes fall from the sky, cars suddenly stop working, and various other types of equipment cease to function. But overall, most people will be unharmed. The disaster comes through our dependence on technology. Most commerce will be erased. Most forms of communication would be obliterated. The internet would be destroyed.
Oh, no.
Not the internet. Not the internet. Many people in hospitals would surely die. World trade would come to a standstill. Agriculture would be stopped in its tracks. Generally, the entire modern way of life would cease. So it's basically like when Snake Plissken presses the fucking doomsday code
at
the end of Escape from L.A.
Back to the fucking Stone Age, dude.
It's like, all right, we're resetting fucking... This is like the primitivists' dream scenario, though.
Yeah, this is the, like, the Rewilders...
That's the ones I was thinking of.
There are people that think that that's the only way for human beings to coexist peacefully and to live out their days is for us to go back to our primitive, tribal, nomadic, hunter-gatherer lifestyle.
Because as we know, those are the most peaceful times.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Peace reigned over the planet.
Even 500 years ago, the 15th century, dude, the murder rate was like 500 people for like 100,000.
Ah, you don't know, Scotty.
You know, I mean,
people were happier.
People killed each other for like nothing. And if you go back, I'm sure far enough, it was probably like you took TJ's fucking bone. Now he bashes your fucking brains out of your fucking skull.
Paul Steel Bone.
Paul, die!
Now smash Paul's skull.
Yep, sounds great to me, man.
It's gonna be fun.
Doesn't actually sound much different than now, to be honest with you.
When have I ever smashed your skull, Paul? How many times?
Every
have I done
that? Fucking day, dude.
I don't
every
mean metaphorically.
Day.
I mean, you know,
okay.
Like literally, just take a fucking blunt object and smash you.
You
in
haven't
the head
done
with
that
it
yet.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet, Paul.
When this fucking CME hits, Paul, he's going to.
Yeah, but when that electromagnetic pulse fucking knocks out all the technology on Earth, what else am I going to do for entertainment at that point?
I do agree with this article, though, that this one is probably the most frightening of the doomsday scenarios for me, because it...
Yeah, it's not going to kill you. It's just going to turn your life into fucking topsy-turvy mess.
Topsy-turvy mess. TJ, that's the kind of thing that happens on a Saturday morning program.
Topsy-turvy.
You know, Billy the Bear spills the honey on the table and creates a topsy-turvy mess. This is going to create fucking hell on Earth.
Pandemonium.
No internet, TJ.
Roving rape gangs, TJ. Roving fucking looting gangs. Mad Max.
Highwaymen, dude.
Cats and dogs living together.
Mass hysteria.
Yep.
TJ, you're not going to be able to fucking earn a living on the internet anymore, dude. You're going to have to fucking
there's
work.
There's going to be no internet.
That's what I'm saying. TJ's going to be working the fucking fields, dude.
That part is good. The fact that there's going to be no internet, I would revel in that for a few
seconds.
Let's
see what the DFF subreddit has to say about this.
Oops, nothing. They're all running for their lives. I'm running for my life, too.
Less funny.
I'm dead.
Yeah.
Oxen. We're going to need some oxen and some farmland, TJ.
I'm just going to put it out there that if anyone
plow
wants,
the fields.
If anyone wants to join my roping, my roving rape and murder gang.
I'm going
to
have a roping rape and murder gang where we just blow ropes of cum all over people.
Yeah, make a little lasso, you know.
Here's a rope for you. Ah!
Paul, to
I'm gonna,
be honest.
I'm going to wish for... I'm going to wish
Paul's
going to
be hanging people from
let's
trees.
Let's be real here. You know, we're all fucking liberal fucking pussies here.
Yeah.
I think Scotty might own a gun or two. I don't know.
Yeah, he probably does.
But, you know, you and me, Paul, we're gonna kind of wish we were gun nuts at that point. Like,
nah.
Man, I wish I was a gun nut.
I don't want to engage in that shit. I just want to die. Just, you know, because, like, at that point...
Well, no, I mean, even if you just wanted to blow your brains out, you know?
There's tall things around.
Really? I mean, I don't know.
I can go travel to a tall
heights
thing.
I wouldn't want
to
do that.
Well, I mean, what? It's over in like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Whatever. You just, like, I'll push you if you want. I'll help you overcome your fear. I'll shove you and I'll jump right after you.
I'm just going to walk over to Scotty's house and borrow a gun to blow my brains out. Actually, no, I'm just going
to... Scotty's going to be on the move with his guns getting to a safe area,
yeah,
TJ.
Yeah, there's no
he's
way.
Not, what do you think? Scotty's just going to be sitting at his house?
Yeah, I figured.
I figured you'd be at his house, you know, like chilling, like, what's up, TJ?
What up?
Fucking, you know, EMP, man, crazy
but,
shit, dude.
I mean, to be honest, you probably wouldn't even make it to the high thing to jump off of. Somebody would probably murder you on the way there, so.
That's why I'm just going to get on the side of the murderers. I think that that's
you're just
going to
get
best
a gun?
You know, I don't even know. You know, we'll see.
Dude, TJ be a slaver, dude. TJ be enslaving people and shit.
Yeah, you know.
He's pretty big. I can see TJ being part of a gang.
Play it by ear.
Segmento becomes like a god in the new
Oh, that'd
world
be awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
You and I team up to like rule humanity with fucking Segmento.
That's right, you gibbering fools. The great cataclysm has come, and all of your electronic devices are moot. Now you will bow to my jiggling segments.
Oh, I love him, dude.
That's horrible, dude.
I love him.
Humanity needs a new fucking figure to inspire.
Dude, a savior to lead us out of the wasteland.
I think Segmento is the hero that humanity needs.
Yes.
In the fucking...
The post-apocalypse.
The EMP apocalypse. The solar
flare. The no-technology future that we're all going to live in when the fucking solar flare hits.
So here's another potential doomsday scenario. Earth's magnetic poles show signs they're about to flip, exposing humans to radiation
shit,
and planet-wide blackouts. Kind of similar, actually. For those of you who don't know, the Earth has magnetic poles.
I don't know who doesn't know that.
So, I mean, I don't know, dude. They got some stupid fuckers out there. Historically, Earth's north and south magnetic poles have flipped every 200,000 to 300,000 years, except right now they haven't flipped successfully for around 780,000 years.
They need to flip, dude. They're waiting to flip.
They're way overdue.
I mean, somebody forgot this one in the oven, man.
But the planet's magnetic field is at long last showing signs of a shifting. Although there's no way to know yet for sure, it could be gearing up to flip once more, according to Undark magazine. Yeah, well, that's a... Undark's got its finger on the pulse. And that possibility is raising new speculation about what that would mean for planetary life. Our planet's magnetic field protects us from lethal levels of radiation and phenomena like solar rays. The dangerous particles never hit us directly because upon entering the Earth's atmosphere, the magnetic field deflects them and forces them to move around, according to NASA.
It's like a fucking force field, dude.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like our fucking energy shield. So the prospect of that field weakening, which it does when it's getting ready to flip, is worrisome. It could leave us without sufficient protection. So basically, our magnetic field could weaken before it does its weird little shift. The magnetic field extends out from the electrical currents created by the metals in its core, the Earth's core, generating invisible lines that touch back down to the planet's opposing magnetic poles. Cosmic radiation expert Daniel Baker, director of the laboratory of, he's impressive, believes that the next pole reversal could likely render some areas of the planet unlivable. Okay. So this motherfucker says that... with this impressive resume, says that maybe some areas of the planet...
Yeah, but he's not saying, like, everyone dies.
Right. Yeah, that's not an extinction-type scenario.
You know, he's saying, like, this will be inconvenient to a lot of people.
Blah, 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 blah. Here's another article that kind of says that it's, like, overblown.
Well, of course.
Why you probably... And they say probably. Shouldn't worry about the Earth's magnetic poles flipping. Earth's magnetic poles, whatever they're doing, are not going to spark chaos and kill us, a scenario that's making the rounds online right now. According to the Australian news site news.com.au, a magnetic flip would not only cause massive blackouts, even flushing the toilet could become impossible. What? Why?
Wow.
As reported by Undark, Daniel Baker, the director of the laboratory of blah, 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 is suggesting a reversal would render parts of the planet uninhabitable, though Baker is not directly quoted saying this.
Okay.
Oops.
Oh, no.
Here's what's really happening and why there's no need to take cover in a doomsday bunker. Oceans of molten iron are swirling deep inside the planet around the outer core, and sloshing sets up the giant bar magnet through the Earth. Though not a real concrete magnet, of course. The giant magnet sits at an angle of about 11 degrees from the axis around which the Earth spins. According to Windows of the Universe, these poles are not in the same place as our geographic north and south poles. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. And remember that swirling iron, it's constantly moving around. The result, blobs of that iron get flipped in the opposite direction from iron atoms around them. Scientists say they become reverse-aligned when they are... when there are enough reverse-aligned iron atoms, the giant bar magnet flips and the magnetic north becomes magnetic south. So, basically, just like everyone who owns a compass is going to be like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, I mean, it's a little worse than
worse
that.
Worse than that, dude.
I mean, any kind of like global positioning is going to
Like GPS is not going to work. You're not going to have that. You're not going to be able to locate things.
Any kind of navigation system, really, that relies on adherence to true north.
It would also affect the basically a lot of electronics and the electrical grid and shit. Like, you wouldn't be, like, you might have, like, blackouts and people unable to use any sort of electricity.
I remember I was telling you guys before we started this about the magnetic pole reversal. I remember watching a video, and I couldn't find it. I went looking for it, but it was a while ago. One of those, you know where they are on YouTube, where it's like, the magnetic pole reversal is coming.
Oh, yeah, the total doomsday scenario.
And I was watching it, and the dude was like, but the most horrifying death will come to those unfortunate souls that live around the Earth's equator, as they literally die screaming, falling into the sky. And I was like, what?
They will fall into the sky.
Hold on
one
second.
Hey, we're pretty close to the equator. I hope we don't fall into the sky.
Yeah. I don't think that's how it works, but whatever.
That's how it works, dude.
We just start falling up.
Dude, the gravitational field around Earth also weakens, and you fly off into space.
Yeah, I don't know. Just all of a sudden, gravity just says, like, fuck it. Too much electrical interference.
Falling into the sky.
What if you're indoors? Do you fall into the ceiling, or does your entire house?
No, your house is gone, dude.
Your entire house just falls into the sky, too. Like,
dude, if you have a house on the equator, dude, it's just going to fly off.
And then the Wicked Witch rides by on her broom. And you're like, no!
Oh, God, dude, why?
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Dude, I saw preppers about people that believe this shit. They're like, when the shift happens, chaos will reign.
They just walk around with a stake planted in the dirt and a rope tied to themselves. I'm ready for when it's everyone fall up.
They were obviously going more for the angle of societal collapse. You know, civilization is over as we know it, and they have to have a lot of food and supplies.
Civilization done be over now.
Oh, and they had like a movement plan. I think they were going to go like, we got to go north or some shit, or the new north, or it was like some crazy plan they had that they were going to be fine when the pole shifted. But it's like... But they believed it would happen suddenly, like overnight, like,
yeah, that's
okay,
not the case.
And it's not the case.
That article that you were just reading goes on to say that the actual process of reversing poles takes somewhere between 1,000 and 10,000 years, I think.
I mean, even...
So it's likely something that we would just adjust to as it happened.
The quickest I read that it could occur is 100 years, is what they understand now. I mean, that's like the absolute
So there's
fastest.
There's no like, oh shit, the poles just reversed.
No, it's not going to happen overnight.
The poles are reversing over the course.
And
of,
it might cause,
you know,
like an uptick in UV radiation, but earlier we learned that that's not a total fucking problem either. I mean, we talked about
a lot of these doomsday scenarios that people fucking wring their hands about are kind of not really all that.
Besides the asteroid.
Yeah, like the asteroid, that's a bad motherfucker.
That's like, fuck, dude. There actually is some to that one. Like, what warning do we have? None.
So far, asteroids seem to be like the bad motherfuckers. The gamma ray burst is kind of like, all right, whatever, you're overrated.
It's
going to sound scarier than it actually is. The solar flares and shit, I mean, that could be a
thing. The EMP sounds pretty bad, dude.
Oh, yeah,
well, that's what I'm saying. The solar
bad.
Flares, they kick out that plasma and shit, and it hits the Earth, and I guess it fucking acts like a giant EMP that fucking wipes out electricity.
Yeah, the CME is what we're talking about, yeah.
So I guess we're about a 50% rate here, because asteroid and solar flares, pretty badass, but gamma ray bursts and magnetic pole reversal really ain't
pretty
shit.
Fucking,
yeah,
pretty
seem
fucking
to be a little
lame.
Trumped up trickle down.
Trumped up, trickle down. Well, here's one. This is not exactly a doomsday scenario per se, but it's a pretty cataclysmic event. The super volcanoes.
Yeah, recently, a lot of people were talking about this like it was a surefire doomsday scenario.
Yeah, like Aldera was just going to go and fucking wipe out Wyoming, basically.
So there's six known supervolcanoes in the world.
Yeah, the Yellowstone.
The most famous one is, the Yellowstone caldera.
The supervolcano. Dude, I first heard about this on Discovery Channel, dude. I was like watching, there was like a preview for a show they did on, and it's not like, the supervolcano. They had some experts like, if this erupts, and which we're due for, like, it'll wipe out humanity. This could be the end of civilization.
Yeah, they used to say that it was going to, kind of like what we learned about the meteors, in that it throws up all this shit into the atmosphere. Right, it does do that, just not on the scale that it would take to wipe out all the plant life on Earth, which is really the problem with that. It would take, like, in reading and looking into this, it would take two or three of these fucking things erupting at the same time to have that kind of catastrophic effect.
There's a few other super volcanoes around.
Oh, the Long Valley Caldera.
Long Valley Caldera. This is second only to Yellowstone in North America, is Long Valley Caldera. Located in East Central California. Sorry, I'm allergic to calderas. 200 square mile caldera is just south of Mono Lake.
Yep.
Shit. Near the Nevada state line. The biggest eruption from Long Valley was 760,000 years ago, which unleashed 2,000 to 3,000 times as much lava and ash as Mount St. Helens, which is pretty... I mean, for those who remember anything about the Mount St. Helens eruption, it's pretty fucking crazy. Blah, blah, blah. Then in the early 1990s, large amounts of carbon dioxide gas from magma below began seeping up through the ground and killing trees. These sorts of signs are present. It could mean trouble is centuries, decades, or even years away, say volcanologists.
Yeah, basically, like, it could happen.
It could happen.
It's not long, not far from where I grew
centuries,
up.
Centuries, decades, months, years, minutes, we don't know.
Could be right now. Could be erupting as we speak.
Cool.
I don't know how that's pronounced.
Valles.
Okay, how do you know that?
I grew up in Madera, California.
All right. What? So that's a Spanish word, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, it is, obviously.
The 175 square mile Valles Caldera forms a large POC. What the fuck is a POC? In the middle of northern New Mexico, west of Santa Fe. It last exploded 1.2 million years ago. And 1.6 million years ago, piling up 150 cubic miles of rock. So that's pretty crazy.
Damn, dude.
Why are so many of these in North America?
Yeah.
Lake Toba went off 74,000 years ago. That's another big one.
Taupo.
So New Zealand.
That's in New Zealand. And Era Caldera, which is in, I guess, Japan? Yes, it's in Japan.
So, yeah.
Bad luck for them, because they're on a little ass island.
Well, dude, it's called the Pacific Ring of Fire for a reason.
Yeah, they're fucked.
I mean, most of this major volcanic activity is in that fucking area around the globe. So, New Zealand, it's right here. Japan, tsunamis, earthquakes. New Zealand, earthquakes. The West Coast, obviously, has a ton of earthquakes. There's one in Washington State in the early 2000s.
All right, well, I got bad news.
A ton in California.
The biggest one of these motherfuckers is Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the one everyone knows about. And I got bad news for you guys.
What's that?
Imminent.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's
imminent.
Another one of these things that's overdue. What if they all happen at the same time?
Yeah, the Earth's just like, you know what? Hope. Fuck it.
Reverses its poles. A fucking solar flare goes off. A meteorite hits, and the Yellowstone caldera goes.
It's just like Earth's like, you know what? I fucking had it.
Just a chain effect, dude. All six of them.
Yellowstone eruption imminent. All caps. Imminent.
Imminent.
Supervolcano anomaly triggers fears of volcano to blow. Yellowstone volcano could be on the brink.
Could be
on the brink of cataclysmic eruption after a pair of researchers uncovered a magma anomaly stretching across the country.
Are we really that scared of it, though? I mean, we have a plan, remember?
What's our plan?
You're going to fire me into the volcano and I'm going to save humanity.
How is that going to save humanity?
We don't know.
The force of the impact of my splooge is going to cool the lava immediately. Wow. And the impact of my... I'm going to do a belly flop on the
lava. You said, TJ, it's going to be a tachyon pulse. Like Paul's
going to... Oh, shit.
Paul's going to come so hard, it's going to look really a tachyon
Paul
pulse.
Came tachyons, dude.
Yeah,
I
dude.
Do.
And it's going to go... Shoo, and it's going to fucking neutralize.
He's going to fix it with Star Trek pseudoscience, dude.
Exactly, dude.
Awesome.
I told you that I was, infertile, but I didn't tell you why. It's because tachyons can't fertilize an egg, TJ.
Wow. Cool.
Paul, savior of humanity, dude.
Fear and panic broke out overnight. I don't remember that. After Stephen Grand and Peter Nelson from the University of Texas... Oh, well, they're Texans. They don't know what they're talking about. Broke the silence of their shocking Yellowstone volcano discovery. The two volcano researchers uncovered evidence of a plume abnormality underneath the volcano in between the Earth's core and mantle, which could run all the way to Mexico. The findings of the research were published in the scientific journal Nature Geoscience and have already taken over the imagination of the public. I know my imagination's been taken over.
Dude, this is the problem. Anytime you give the media an article of scientific nature that has anything to do with anything that you can really get into people's heads like this, they just run away with it. It's like... They broke their silence. It's like, so these two nerds basically published a fucking research paper on the caldera, and a plume that was going on that's like, this is strange. And now it's like, imminent explosion, we'll all die. Could happen.
I mean, it got our click, you know?
According to the study, the volcanic plume, which is 600 to 800 degrees Celsius, warmer than surrounding areas, is responsible for the volcanism witnessed in Yellowstone. The study reads, our results strongly support a deep origin for the Yellowstone hotspot and also provide evidence for the existence of thin thermal mantle plumes that are currently beyond the resolution of global tomography models. So I'm not hearing them saying like explosion imminent.
No,
the scientists don't seem to be like, hey, it's gonna blow, run.
The scientists are making hyperbolic statements. Are you sure?
That's so weird.
I mean, the article says. I mean, that they broke their silence.
Yeah, science is afraid to tell people the truth.
All right, so what'll happen if Yellowstone explodes?
It'll suck. I mean,
a giant eruption at Yellowstone National Park could impact the world's global climate for years afterwards, even decades. On its website, this is the website of the USGS.
U.S. Geological Survey.
Yes. On its website, it says such a giant eruption would have regional effects such as falling ash and short-term, years to decades, change to global climate. The surrounding states of Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming would be affected, as well as other places in the United States and the world. Such eruptions usually form calderas, broad volcanic depressions created as the ground surface collapses as a result of withdrawal of partially molten rock magma below. Fortunately, the chances of this eruption at Yellowstone are exceedingly small in the next few thousand years. Whatever, lying ass scientists, they don't know.
Boo, imminent. Science, boo.
Imminent.
Boo. Imminent explosion.
Imminent, gonna apparently happen tomorrow.
Apparently these scientists haven't talked to those two intrepid Texan scientists that broke their silence on this.
So here's a couple maps. They're a little different, but here's the map.
Here's the kill zone, dude.
Possible Yellowstone volcano.
I mean,
obviously they don't know exactly what's gonna fucking happen, but here's a guess.
So Wyoming... Bye-bye.
Yeah, whatever state... Wyoming is pretty much fucked.
Montana.
And nothing of value was lost.
Montana's gone.
Dude, I've driven through Wyoming.
Dude, what's that state that's pretty much entirely covered, like, above Colorado?
That's Wyoming.
Oh, is that all Wyoming?
Yep, that's Wyoming. And Wyoming is just dead.
Fuck, dude, I can't even see Wyoming.
And
so,
you know what? I've driven through Wyoming, and there's going to be... That's not going to affect too many people,
honestly. Too many... Idaho
is
fucked.
It's going to kill, like, three people. Montana's fucked. Idaho is pretty
also
fucked.
Also, same deal, though. I mean, barely anyone lives there, so... Honestly, it's a pretty good position in the U.S.
You see there, they have the kill zone. Pretty big kill zone. Going to kill a lot of people if that happens.
So they're all dead. Bye-bye.
I mean, luckily, it's not too many states that anyone's going to miss. I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, no, not Wyoming.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're not going to miss that, but they're going to miss the shit that's grown in these states.
Yeah.
That isn't going to be growing in these states.
That's the biggest problem for the country at large is that this is going to kill a shit ton of crops. You see those huge primary and secondary ash zones.
That's the breadbasket of the U.S., talking about Kansas,
yeah.
Iowa,
you know,
Missouri.
You're going to go to the store and a fucking ear of corn is going to be like 30 bucks, and you know.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, just the economic devastation from this could cause scenarios that we've already talked about, like, you know, the mass panics, the violence and rioting and looting. And
hey, you know what though, at least here in Louisiana we're out of the range. No ash for us, really.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, you know what though, that was
not my problem.
I mean, the Mississippi,
was not my fucking problem.
The Mississippi River is probably gonna be full of ash and bringing it down to us.
Well, that was the more optimistic of the two charts.
Shit, dude. Oh fuck.
Let's look at the slightly more pessimistic chart.
Oh no, fuck, dude. Maybe
it's a little bit less.
Well,
Rosie.
You know what?
It's rain and ash. Hallelujah.
I think we're still all right, TJ.
You know, I feel like this one actually says that a little bit more of Wyoming is going to be spared, but it has a much larger ash zone.
Yeah.
And that they have the hot ash zone, so that's not fun. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd kill some people.
But you know what? L.A. is spared. New York is spared. So.
Yeah.
You know what? If this actually did happen... It'd be really hard for Republicans to win an election for a while.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, God, yeah.
Because it looks like it's kind of sparing a lot of the liberal areas, and destroying a lot of conservative shit. So maybe this needs to happen.
But you know what? That's okay though, because climate change and flooding and you know the rising sea levels will take care of the rest of it.
Dude, the next Democratic presidential nominee needs to run on blowing up the caldera and getting rid of these people.
I think Ohio might be the place to be, dude. Because
this liberal elitist scum just talk about killing conservatives.
TJ, if this happens, we have to move back to Ohio because it's going to miss the caldera, but it's not on the coast. As far as the rising seas, it's going to be less affected.
All right, I just want to tell you something. I'm never living in Ohio again.
If the caldera goes, we might have to.
No.
If the caldera goes, we're moving, TJ.
No.
We're moving, TJ.
No.
I'm just getting out of this country if the caldera goes. Fuck trying to resettle around here.
Yeah, let's go to Mexico.
I'm going to a continent that doesn't have a super volcano on it because I've learned my lesson.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
There was a bunch of places that were not mentioned on the super caldera fucking list, so let's go to one of those.
I think all the white people should just move to Mexico and take it over.
You know what? Africa ain't so bad after all, guys. There's no fucking calderas there.
Yeah, Paul, that's where you would go. Yeah, I'm sure that's Paul's first choice, Africa.
Umbabwe! Dude, I'm going back to the motherland, dude. And before you say it's not my motherland, all life started there, okay?
Yeah, Paul, it doesn't count for you, though. Paul, you're going to fucking the Philippines, dude. You're going to Asia.
I'm going back to commune with my people.
I thought Paul was getting dropped into the volcano to shoot his tachyon cum into the fucking...
Well, I mean...
Gaping
like,
lava
maw. I mean,
that's only if somebody listens to me, too. Like, people don't take me seriously. So, like, the government might be like, this guy doesn't cum tachyons. Let's just die.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
let's just die.
Let's just die now.
I love that statement. Yeah.
Let's just die. Let's just die.
I want to be dead. I don't need to live.
They're gay and aloof towards existence. Let's just die, okay?
This guy clearly doesn't cum tachyons.
I don't think tachyons would do anything anyway, but they do in Star Trek.
That just shows your ignorance, TJ.
TJ, the tachyons would solve the fucking... Dude, Paul's fucking tachyon just would hit the fucking goddamn magma and it just go... chain reaction.
Yep, it would instantly cool and solidify for another 100,000 years.
The magma would instantly be like, oh, sorry, and it would just kind of like creep back in, put its hat back on, back away into this hole. Like, all right.
But what I haven't told people...
Dude, there was an episode of Star Trek where this happened, though. It was in the Next Generation. I don't know if you guys...
They shot tachyon cum into the volcano?
No. they had a planet that was going to be destroyed by volcanic activity, and they somehow neutralized it.
They shot Data down there to cum tachyons at it.
I was thinking,
I was thinking
Picard in a parachute. You know?
Yeah.
He gave his life hilariously to save the planet.
The cum must be squirted here.
That's how Captain Picard gets fucking gets laid, dude. He tells him where it's gonna go.
All right, so here's yet another doomsday scenario. This one's pretty legit. You know, it's never quite wiped us out, obviously, but it's come pretty close. Let's stop talking about cum for a second. The five deadliest outbreaks of pandemics in history.
The Black Death, dude.
Yeah, this is another one that could just happen any second, too. I mean, we're always hearing about these new fucking viruses that...
Well, that's why they cover them, because they're like, what if this is the next, you know, big plague or something? The plague, you know, obviously was pretty devastating.
The global population was 450 million, and at least 75 million of that were believed to have perished throughout the pandemic.
Just crazy. Some estimate as much as 200 million.
That's fucking insane. Yeah, because
so that's nearly half of humanity.
If you consider the collateral damage and shit, I bet that higher estimate is probably right.
But guess what? Our ancestors survived! Woo!
Yay.
Barely. Holy shit.
The Spanish flu of 1918, approximately 90 years before the 2009 swine flu pandemic, killed more than 200,000 people. Reports of an especially dangerous form of influenza began to appear around the world. Kansas was the site of the first U.S. case in March 1918. Appearing in multiple countries around the world, the disease spread quickly, ushered along even faster due to the close living quarters of troops fighting in World War I. The first instance of an H1N1 pandemic would be dubbed the Spanish flu, despite the fact that it didn't actually come from Spain. It burned out quickly and suddenly by 1919, with the explanation still unknown today. But it left the global population decimated, with a mortality rate as high as 1 in 5 and an estimated one-third of the world population afflicted. As many as 50 million people are believed to have died.
You
approximately 25 million of those deaths came in the first 25 weeks of the outbreak.
You know what's called the Spanish flu, too? It's because they didn't censor their newspapers. So the newspapers in Spain actually were allowed to cover the Spanish flu.
So the rest of them, the rest of the world was just like, no, nothing's going on.
Nothing's happening. People aren't dying that
everything's
crazy.
Everything's fine.
So when you
I don't know if you realized this year, but the flu season this year was pretty brutal for most, considering most years, a lot of children. Yeah, a lot of people got it. A lot of people died from it. I don't know if they have the numbers yet, but hospitals were like overrun with flu cases this year.
Crazy shit.
So much people were, I know a bunch of people were freaking out about that. Like the flu was actually like a legit thing. Like got the flu. Like, oh shit.
So when you go in to get your H1N1 inoculation, you're getting inoculated with a weakened version of that 1918 virus that killed, you know, 1 in 5 people.
Well, I don't think the virus is active though.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a weakened version. They just put it in there to build up your immunities. that's pretty crazy though.
It's just to teach your immune system, hey, kill this when you see it.
And the flu is like considered to be pretty minor now, at least in America. You know what I mean?
Well, not this
year. Flu. Well, I mean, yeah, but even now though, like you get the flu and like,
well, compared to like this H1N1.
Well, this year, if you can look back, there's a ton of news stories about kids just getting the flu this year, then just being dead like several hours later.
Wow.
So I mean, it was just crazy. You never know. But
let's see if I can find any statistics on casualties.
Statics?
I can find it. Statics. The flu is killing up to 4,000 Americans a week.
Wow.
That's from February 10th.
I'm telling you, the flu
was
bad this year.
The amount of influenza ravaging the U.S. this year rivals levels normally seen when an altogether new virus emerges, decimating a vulnerable population that hasn't had a chance to develop any defenses. It's an unexpected phenomenon that public health experts are still trying to decode. The levels of influenza-like illnesses being reported now are as high as the peak of the swine flu epidemic in 2009 and exceed the last severe seasonal flu outbreak in 2003 when a new strain started circulating, said Ann Shuchat, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention acting director. Swine flu, which swept the globe in 2009 and 2010, sickened 60.8 million Americans, hospitalized 274,304, and killed 12,469, according to CDC data. Deaths from the current outbreak will likely far outstrip those 2009 to 2010 seasons. So, you know, massive numbers of casualties during this last flu season.
And you never know what year it's going to be like.
Total fucking pandemic conditions. Now, obviously not at that doomsday level we're talking about, but who knows?
Well, luckily it's just the flu, which is, I mean, most people survive the flu, and it's not that bad of a disease. Now, imagine if that was Ebola or something.
I mean, yeah, once again, this is something that killed children and old people.
Yeah,
primarily
people with compromised immune systems or weakened immune systems.
The agency reported another 10 deaths among children this season, bringing the total to 63 so far. Half of the other, I guess it's mostly killing old people. The agency only started counting deaths among children in 2004 after a particularly severe season. That year, the number of doctor's office visits for the flu peaked at 7.6%. So basically, when this flu basically came through and wiped out our old people population. So
thanks, flu.
All the old people have been cleared out. They've been cleared out. Sweep them away. But anyway, yeah, there's a pandemic is definitely... That's a scary one.
Dude, that's
that can come out of nowhere.
Well, just talking about that, just very briefly. That's what killed, Tom Benson, the owner of the Saints, who just died.
Oh, the flu?
He had the flu.
Wow.
It's like it was clean all even the rich old people.
Yeah.
He was a billionaire.
Guess his money didn't save him.
This is another one of those scenarios where I think that like you'd probably be better off just getting whatever it was, because the people that survived it are going to face all those other things we've been talking about, societal collapse and the breakdown and the violence and the theft and the rape and pillage and all that stuff. I mean, this would set that off almost surely, no? I mean, yeah. One that was powerful enough that was killing, you know, millions and millions of people.
Anything.
Well, imagine how little trust you'd have with a person you didn't know. You'd be like, I don't know if they might have the fucking disease.
There'd be insane runs on, like, food stores and shit.
Let's say something as powerful as the fucking Black Death came back around and did an equivalent amount of devastation. And, you know, how many people live in this country? Like, 310 million, 320 million, something like that?
30 million.
Something like, yeah, so I mean, it'd be like, we're talking like about, you know, around 150 million deaths, so about half the population.
I mean, bodies would just be left. I mean, there wouldn't
I mean, there'd be,
you wouldn't be able to dispose of it quickly enough. Like, every funeral home and, like, you know, crematory, like,
there's
every
not,
place,
I mean, there's not gonna
morgues would be overflowing.
There's not gonna even be funerals and shit at that point. It's just gonna be like, cart your dead off in wagons and shit. It's just gonna be so commonplace.
One of the things I read about this when I was looking into it, too, is, like, even more dangerous than a viral outbreak is a fungal outbreak.
Oh, really?
Like, because we know so little about treating fungal infections when compared to viral infections, that if a fungus were to mutate and become predatory to the human species, it would almost certainly just wipe us out. Because we just have no idea how to fight fungus, really.
It's like The Last of Us, dude.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it really is.
Maybe that's the origin of the Mushroom Kingdom from the Mario
games. Shit, dude.
Ice Age. That's obviously, yet again...
What killed the dinosaurs?
The Ice Age! Well, actually, it was the meteor, but whatever.
Ice Age!
Whatever, Arnold. We got you, buddy. We got you. What causes an Ice Age, and what would happen if the Earth endured another one?
It would suck, dude.
Ice Ages don't just happen overnight, although some movies might have us believe they do, clearly referring to that terrible Roland Emmerich fucking thing.
Yeah.
What was that? Fucking Day After Tomorrow?
Yeah.
These mythical events, how are they? They're not mythical, have shaped human history, but what causes them, and could a new Ice Age spell the end of the world as we know it? Well, yeah, sure. What is an Ice Age? An Ice Age, I mean, I don't need that. I know what an Ice Age is. What causes it? Yeah, yeah. I just want to know what happens. Are we due? What happens if there's another Ice Age? This is the interesting part.
Yeah.
We have delayed the onset of the next Ice Age for now, I guess with global warming. But if another one came, it would have to be pretty big. It would have pretty big consequences for human civilization. Besides the fact that it would be an awful lot colder. Wait. Okay, maybe I don't understand as much about Ice Ages as I thought, because I didn't know it was going to get colder.
Yeah,
during the Ice Age.
What?
I know. I didn't know that. I thought it just there was like more ice.
Hot ice.
Yeah, I thought that was the whole point. It's like things stay the same temperature, but you know, I thought that what happened was like the limit on when water freezes is raised. So, you know, water freezes at like 80 degrees. So
yeah,
this totally reframes what I thought about an Ice Age.
Mind blown.
Huge regions where hundreds of millions of, I hope no one thinks that's literal, hundreds of millions of people live will become completely uninhabitable.
Cue the DFF subreddit right now. Oh my god, these guys thought that ice was gonna get hot for the Ice Age? What a bunch of retards!
Even the... we still live in an Ice Age, dude.
They'd be covered in thick ice sheets and subject to an inhospitable climate. assuming it was similar to the last one.
Well, TJ, do you know we currently live in an ice age? Do you know that that's still actively going on?
Not according to this.
We are, actually. So whoever wrote this article is a fucking moron.
Not according to this.
You know what's funny? I actually know that because me and Stevie had an argument about it. TJ's like, no! And I'm like, Stevie's dumb. I'm going to win this argument. And he was actually right, so.
Damn.
Oh, shit. we're talking about a real Ice Age, not some faggoty.
Roland Emmerich Ice Age. I got you.
Woolly mammoths and cavemen come raiding all the cities.
Saber-tooth tigers
are running around New York.
I don't see how the Ice Age is going to bring back extinct species.
Yeah,
that's part of the Ice Age.
Is it?
Yeah, those species.
Wow, I'm learning a lot about Ice Ages.
They hibernate in the ice, you know, in the poles until the ice covers most of the planet, and then they emerge from their icy tombs to wreak havoc upon humanity.
There'd be a lot less agriculture land available, so it'd be very difficult to support the human population. That's kind of good. You know, we needed a little reduction. And the physical shape of the continents would look completely different across the whole planet. So they're talking about a real ice age here, not whatever Scotty's talking about, which is just something like, yeah, it's technically an ice age. a huge drop in sea levels.
It's whatever, dude.
Of up to, I mean, some of the 10 of the hottest years on record have been fucking in the last fucking, you know,
I don't
few
know
decades.
What, I'm not a scientist. I don't know what the criteria for an ice age is, TJ. I'm just telling you what I read.
I'll tell you what my criteria for an ice age is. A bunch of fucking ice.
An over-the-top Hollywood scenario is your fucking criteria, TJ.
Yes.
You fucking ignorant piece of shit.
And create new areas of land, blah, blah, blah. Ocean ports would no longer be on the ocean.
Well, no shit.
Anyone wanting water views would need to relocate larger. So this is like, you know, it just, you know, change what the surface of the earth even looked like.
Dude.
It'd be crazy.
This is how the ice age would start, Scotty.
All right.
Some dude is walking with his girlfriend in New York City.
No, it starts with that little squirrel trying to crack a
nut. No, you're wrong. Some dude is walking with his girlfriend in New York City, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, God, it's so cold. And he's like, I know. Lived here my whole life, and I've never experienced cold like this. And then all of a sudden, over the eerie nighttime streets, he hears like one of those horns made out of a sheep's horn being blown. And then a fucking just herd of rampaging fucking mastodons being ridden by giant fucking cavemen with big lumpy brows and clubs and shit come riding down the streets, dude. The Ice Age is here!
I like Paul's Ice Age. I think I'd like actually like that to happen, maybe.
Paul's Ice Age on ice.
The women of the tribe are all riding saber-toothed cats with nets and bows and arrows and shit. Dude, it's over. We're fucked. I can't wait.
Here's a cool one. Rogue Black Hole.
The Rogue Black Hole just appears, dude.
Rogue Black
Hole. It just shows up. It's like, what's up?
If a rogue,
my fucking mass is greater than yours, bitch.
If a rogue black hole wandered into our solar system, approximately how long would we have until total annihilation? That's the question.
That's a good question.
And here's a fucking person who's answering. I don't know what their qualifications are, but we're just going to assume they know everything.
Sure.
They're smart, dude.
That depends immensely. See, they use the word immensely. They know.
Definitely a smart person.
On the circumstances, but given some reasonable assumptions, the biggest danger would be radiation, and we'd have a fair chance of surviving the whole thing.
Cool.
God damn it.
Another one?
Known black holes range in mass from about 4 times the sun to billions of times bigger. I assume you're talking about something around the low end of that scale, so let's say 10 solar masses. That means its event horizon is around 60 kilometers across. Yes, you read that right. It's less than 40 miles across.
Black holes are weird.
Note that there is no way the thing is hanging around. The entire solar system is a fraction of its mass. It just zooms through and out the other side. Since it's a rogue, we can assume that it's from a different kinematic group than the sun, and thus probably has a relative velocity of tens of thousands of kilometers per second. That means it would take days to months to travel one AU. I don't know what an AU is.
Astrometric unit.
Cool. Let's say arbitrarily that it's going 2 AUs a month relative to us. That means we can expect it to be somewhere inside Neptune's orbit for some time on the order of a year or two, assuming that we're using that as the border of the solar system. Or if it's as fast as a hypervelocity star, it could just be a month or so. The chances of it hitting anything are minuscule. Space is too big, and going on the event horizon alone, the thing is tiny. So the main damage it does is by perturbing the orbits of the planets. In other words, the fact that it's a black hole doesn't really matter. It's just a massive object, and at that distance we're considering, we can use rough Newtonian approximations for its gravity. For the short term, the planet we care about most is, of course, the Earth. I don't know about it. I'm kind of a Jupiter fan, but whatever. The way it messes with the Earth's orbit is that its gravitational forces on the Earth and Sun are different. If it's more than about 10 AU away, those differences are pretty minor. Our orbit would end up slightly non-circular, but the resulting global seasons would probably be survivable. This is gay. You know, I like the ones where it gets nice and close to us.
You want
the
fucking black hole where the fucking Earth is sucked into the fucking black hole, dude.
I mean, I saw this one thing where, like, it gets close to our sun and it starts, like, sucking out our sun and shit, like, sucking it dry. I saw this other one where it, like, sucks the Earth's atmosphere clean off the fucking Earth. That was pretty neat.
Did you see the one where people at the equator fall into the sky, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
They fall into the sky.
What's this lame ass, like, it might fuck with our orbit a little, but probably ain't gonna...
It might slightly alter the orbit of the Earth. It'd probably be survivable, though. No!
Boo!
I want death and destruction to
Boo!
Me.
I mean, you'd probably still get plenty of that. I
destroy
mean,
destroy everything,
dude. If it wobbled
dude,
the
how long?
Earth and it messed with our seasons and shit, it would throw everything.
Well,
into
let's
chaos.
Be honest. How long?
Right, hold on.
How long do we give a black hole fucking disaster movie?
I skimmed through this article. It says, if by bad luck the black hole did come close enough to anything to swallow it up, I suspect the resulting radiation, as whatever it was spiraled in and superheated, superheated could be enough to sterilize the Earth. My very, very rough back of the envelope calculations are that this could begin to be scary, as in don't go outside at the wrong time. If that anything weighed more than about 10 whatevers, there are hundreds of asteroids which weigh more than that, and my calculations could easily be off by several orders of magnitude. Well, quit fucking, you know, I'm sure your calculations,
my calculations
are fine, all right?
Are not correct.
This is my just like rough back of the envelope calculations, guys, but I'm thinking that. What are the chances of it swallowing something sizable? That's where my rough estimate breaks down. I can't easily figure it out. Well, fucking what good are you then? Get out of here.
Yeah, we just don't know,
they
man.
They don't fucking know, dude.
You cocksucking motherfucker.
You should end
the. I don't like it. The black hole shows up, it sucks the Earth into it, and we're all fucking dead. The end.
Enter the event horizon, TJ.
Yeah, hell, yes.
Like a
then
big
go
black
to hell.
Vacuum, it just shows up and sucks our atmosphere. Starts vampiring our sun.
Black
I
hole.
Drink your milkshake.
A All film right. by Roland Emmerich.
That'd be awesome.
Rogue Black.
Oh, that's a good title.
Yep.
Wait, no, that might.
Whoa, Paul.
How about From the Black?
Whoa.
With Chris Rock as the black hole.
Man, what the fuck?
Wow. That was a racist.
Sorry.
Jesus, Paul.
I did my all right, best. So here's one that I never, you know, all these other ones I'd kind of heard a little
heard
bit about.
Him.
Obviously, we're not experts in any of this stuff, but this
Fuck
one's
no.
kind of crazy. This is one I never heard
the
of before.
The algae apocalypse, dude.
A plausible end of the world scenario you probably never thought of. You're right. I did. I never did. You've seen the world end with fire, earthquakes, and what the fuck in movies like 2012 and The Core.
The Core.
But to find out about truly hot, horrific, plausible scenarios, you need to ask a scientist. We talked to Caltech's Joe... man, this episode is full of fucking shit I can't pronounce.
Joe...
Kirschvink?
Kirschvink?
I am Joe Kirschvink.
Kirschvinkel.
A geobiologist who studies the ancient history of life and mass death. Cool.
Whoa.
That's metal. Pretty metal. Yeah,
that's fucking
really
metal. Yeah.
He what gave us study? A nightmare scenario Mass where death. One evolutionary shift in ocean microbes leaves humans unable to breathe. Kirschvink is an expert in one of the most dramatic transformations that's ever shaken up our planet. You may not realize this, but for almost 2 billion years of the 4.5 billion year history of the Earth, our planet's atmosphere was dominated by methane and other greenhouse gases.
Cool.
There was no free oxygen, and therefore no life as we know it could survive. But then about 2.35 billion years ago, microbes called cyanobacteria, also known as blue-green algae, began to produce free oxygen as a byproduct of the photosynthesis process. The algae did this by breaking apart water molecules during their digestive process, freeing the O, oxygen, from H2O, water. As a result, these cyanobacteria poisoned the world. At least that's how it would have seemed to all the microbes around them, known as stromatolites, who breathed methane. Suddenly, all the oxygen was in the air, and the stromatolites began to die out. Eventually, the oxygen-based atmosphere allowed life as we know it, including humans, to evolve over the dead bodies of those methane-breathing stromatolites. That's the backstory. The thing is, we really aren't sure what caused the cyanobacteria to start photosynthesizing and throwing off that free oxygen in the first place. And there's no reason such an environmental shift couldn't happen again with equally disastrous results for life on Earth. Here's my nightmare scenario, Kirschvink began, and it really is a nightmare. It's chemically unreasonable, but I suppose the microbes living 2.35 billion years ago would have said the same thing about oxygen.
This guy's stupid. They would wouldn't have said anything. Yeah, because microbes can't talk.
Microbes don't even talk.
Microbes can't even
say nothing. This guy ain't no fucking smart scientist. We smarter than him.
This dipshit went to school for 8 to 12 years and don't even know that a microbe can't talk?
Hey, you know, how many times you've been sitting around and you're like, you know, hey, man, I was talking to this microbe the other day and he told
me. Never.
No, never happens because microbes don't fucking talk.
Yeah, the other day I was looking for my car keys and I'm like, where are my car keys? And this microbe goes, I saw him under the couch. What a retard.
What a fucking maroon.
Idiot.
All right. But I suppose the microbes living, blah, blah, blah. Warming to the topic, he spun out microbial death tale. Let's say that there's some damn diatom that learns to grab a photon and take salt. I'm going to just cut to Paul for a second with the mention of the word salt.
No. No. It can't.
Salt, if you recall, your basic chemistry is an NaCl, whatever the fuck. I guess I never took basic chemistry. Or sodium chloride. The diatom breaks this in half, leaving a sodium metal, which Kirschvink says it could store in a little organelle. And instead of releasing free oxygen as a byproduct, this new diatom releases chlorine gas, a deadly poison.
Sweet.
You have chlorine gas poisoning the atmosphere, Kirschvink concludes. It would do to us what oxygen did to the juicy stromatolites.
Juicy.
Yeah,
they were juicy?
I guess they were juicy, dude. Could such a scenario come to pass? It's just one small change in the metabolic pathways of the diatom, Kirschvink noted. Of course, there is no known evolutionary advantage to such a shift taking place, but then again, there is no known advantage to cyanobacteria developing a metabolism that farted out oxygen 2.35 billion years ago either. So next time you're looking for a doomsday scenario, consider the humble diatom.
Man, this one would be pretty cool, dude.
Death by fucking algae.
Yep.
I wish he would get it. I wish he got into how much time would we have? Like, how long would it take to saturate?
Dude, that's like as close to the happening.
The Earth with enough chlorine gas.
I mean, would we even know? That's the thing. Like, would we even know till it was too late?
Dude, remember that terrible movie, The Happening, TJ? This is like the closest thing I can think that actually coming true. The algae rebels, dude.
To it actually happening.
Oh shit! Wow, you just
except
shook
in the
world.
Movie, the plants like they could actually. Understand people to some degree.
I guess what? Yeah, that was weird.
Mark Wahlberg's like, we gotta take a piss.
We're just stopping in to take a piss.
Sorry, don't hurt us.
We respect you.
We love you, plants.
We love you, plants.
What? No.
Oh, it's made of plastic. I'm a fucking
that's right.
Man.
When he goes into the house and the woman's like crazy.
You're
like,
going to kill me. What? No.
What?
Not me.
I, Mark Wahlberg, kill you?
And of course, he then later kills her.
Well, she went crazy, so... You know.
I mean, he kills her, though.
Yeah.
She's dead.
It was weird, because at the beginning of the movie, the plants made them kill themselves, but then later in the movie, it made them go crazy and kill other people, so...
Yeah.
The plants changed their mind. At first, they're like, die, and then they're like, let's make them do their own dirty work.
Let's make them kill instead.
Kill.
Kill.
There's a much better movie about fucking plants coming alive and killing people anyway.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Little shop,
I was thinking of the Day of the Triffids, too, dude.
I never even heard of
the
that.
The Day of the Triffids. Dun, dun, dun. It's like one of those 50s schlock horror movies.
What is it?
A comet comes down, and it's got this plant life on it, but they're trees that can, like, uproot themselves and walk around, and they've got these, like, pussies on their face that a tongue comes out of, and that's how they kill you.
Cool.
Whoa, dude.
Yeah. The Day of the Triffids.
Day of the Triffids. Kind of different than what we're talking about, but still kind of interesting.
The fucking algae starts pumping out chlorine gas, TJ. It could happen, dude. It could happen.
It's potential.
That's pretty much what you hear with all these things. It could happen. It will happen. It should happen. It will.
It could happen.
It's going to turn your hair green, TJ, like when you're swimming in a chlorinated swimming pool for too long.
Remember there was that furry convention that someone tried to kill the furries with chlorine?
Maybe it was a diatom, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe there was some fucking crazy diatoms there that were like, you know what? Time to fucking produce chlorine. Dude,
they were like, let's go check on humanity and see how they're doing.
Advanced scouts, dude.
They just happen to pop up at a furry convention. They're like, what the fuck? All right, start synthesizing salt now.
Time to eat the salt and fucking produce fucking chlorine gas.
Dude, They're just the first wave. They're testing our defenses, and they see that we're already weak.
They're
dude.
Dressing up in weird animal costumes yeah. and yiffing with each
they're
other.
They're doing what we do. They're experimenting on the furries amongst us, dude.
They are,
man. Like, yeah, these aren't real humans. We'll do our chlorine test on these furries first.
Sounds like a legit idea. Sounds like a legit idea. All right. Obviously, normally we don't tell you guys what we're going to do for our patron-only episodes in advance. We don't ever really tell you what we're doing in advance, but I think it's pretty obvious from discussions we've had here that this is not complete. We are going to be doing an episode for patrons only on Friday.
The supernatural.
That
dude.
Concerns supernatural means of the world to end, and also man-made ways, like, you know, World War III or a man-made virus or some other crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You'll learn all about it this Friday if you're a patron. If you're not, then you
the
can
fucking,
go fuck yourself.
The AI takeover, dude.
Fuck yourself.
Dun 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 dun.
Dun 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 dun.
This was a satisfying episode.
Paul's happy because he likes thinking about the death of all things.
Except for that last one where the diatoms stole all my salt. I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's okay, Paul. You'll be the only human that survives.
And I think it's kind of cool that it would be death by salt, though.
Maybe they would, like, worship me because I'm the saltiest being on the planet.
They just eat you.
All salt flows forth from the salt lord.
Paul just fucking evaporates into chlorine gas.
I turn into like a big fat version of that dude from the new fucking Mad Max movie. I'm just like, yes, my diatoms, ride forth, bring me the Twinkies, you know, or whatever the fuck. It'd be great.
Maybe.
The salt Twinkies, dude.
I think that you would just be dropped into a vat of diatoms and fucking...
consumed.
You know, well, maybe that's how they finally
turn into a giant.
They eventually get sick of my
gas.
Tyrannical ways, and so they just eat me. They consume me. But for a while, I'll get to command the diatome hordes.
Congratulations, diatome hordes.
Yes, yes.
I am king of the algae.
This pool has gotten slimy. It's time for some chlorine.
Yeah. Put some chlorine
dude,
in the gene pool.
I'll tell you what, dude. There's been clean ass pools in the world.
Yeah, especially that human gene pool, totally wiped.
Whoa, out. TJ. For last time, Hitler. Now you the fucking eugenics shit is getting a little
Who
crazy.
Who do you think the hottest dude in the world is, TJ? Hitler.
God.
They talk about chlorine gas cleaning the gene pool. Like, TJ, are you secretly a fucking Nazi, dude? I mean, come on. Just give a little Zyklon B, guys. Clean the dream pool.
Hey, come on. We're up to Zyklon fucking Z now.
Zyklon Z.
Yeah, it turns them into Jewish zombies.
What?
That do the our golem. Nazi bidding.
The golem.
I mean, that do their Nazi bidding, not
I'll
our Nazi
give you
bidding.
One shekel for two brains. What do you say, Goyim?
See, he's more anti-Semitic than I am.
What?
No, he's not.
All right, the end.